Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your way every day at noon right here on The Fan. We spin you around town, talk about a top of the teams you care about. 12:30, Josh Hader, Milwaukee Brewers All-Star, is going to be in studio. Let's kick off the Blitz with the Nationals.
The Nationals.
Jamal Collier covers the team, MLB.com. Jamal, 5.5 back at the All-Star break. How should the Nats feel about where they're at based on what we were thinking two or so weeks ago?
It doesn't feel a whole lot different than where you were two weeks ago. And I think that is probably a cause for concern, or just pause that, hey, you've had team meetings, you've had some guys come back, and you're still kind of in the same middling situation that you kind of were in, like you said, a couple weeks ago when these things were going down. So, I think that's kind of where I'm at here a little bit, where not in full panic mode, but if the confidence that you may have had that this can turn around as easily as it can a couple weeks ago, even though you played 500 teams, you go 6-5 against them going into the break, don't kind of take advantage of that opportunity. Yeah, I would be a little concerned just that we haven't made up any of the ground when we've kind of had our chances.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a huge fan, as I've said, of the team meetings. The same guys that are in the room that caused a need for a team meeting, or the same guys having the team meeting, or the same guys that leave the room to try to fix the thing from the team meeting. I just don't see the upside. It's nice for newspapers, but whatever. This team has to play better, and a lot of people, I think, know that. Give me a reason for optimism that this group will go on the run that everyone's been saying is going to happen, and we're still waiting in month number four for, and give me a reason for pessimism.
The reason for optimism is easy. They're talented. And you look at still on paper, we stack their roster up against the Phillies and Braves. They are the most talented team. And the odds, the percentages say that they are more likely to play through the second half, especially a team that has experience that they have going through the August and September, they haven't been in a pennant race, but they have played meaningful games in those situations where teams, the young Braves and Phillies, haven't. If you look at experience, you look at talent, I think that's why I'd be encouraged that this thing can kind of change here because these guys are too good to be playing kind of where they are. The reason for optimism is the fact that we've seen it now for a month and a half, and the fact that for a month and a half, they've just not been very good. And it's, again, every time you think there's a sign or a game where all of a sudden things are going to change or they'll break out, they seem to kind of go right back and take two steps backwards. So, it's a 500 team, so you can look at it glass half full, glass half empty. Either way right now, I think that both of those kind of takes would be pretty justified.
One reason they can't ever take two steps forward is there's always a bad starting pitching performance in one of those two games. Yeah. And maybe that'll change. I don't know. Jeremy Hellickson seems to have gotten right again, which is nice. Strauss is coming back, so that might give them three guys they could get decent performances from every 5 days. Gio had a start maybe he could build on to finish the first half. How should we feel about the rotation?
I think, again, a little bit encouraged. This is probably been the weirdest thing that they've struggled to meet, just because rotation had been so good and it's all historically just been so good. I think, yes, getting Strasburg back, him and Max, it's not essential 1-2 is taken care of. I think Hellickson, again, he's at best, though, we're looking at what we saw him early in the season, 5-6 innings or so, and you get him out of there. But still, we think you can get him, but he's not a guy who's going to keep you in the games right now. And I think the Gio start is noteworthy because it came with Matt Wieters. And, they made a huge thing that Gio feels a lot more comfortable with Matt Wieters behind the plate. And the fact that in start one with him back, he had a pretty positive start outside of one pitch. I think it's the reason to be encouraged with him. Tanner's got to get right, and he looks a mess right now. And I think that hopefully you just hope the 4 days off can kind of, or the week off will probably get with the rotation, kind of helps cool his head a little bit. But again, talented rotation, and they haven't pitched to that performance so far. I think that's the reason for optimism.
Well, Jamal, overall, as you kind of look at this, Jamal, overall, as you kind of look at this thing, I think they've had a bad 5 weeks with the starting rotation. I think they've had a bad season offensively. Gio, you kind of give benefit of the doubt to, as you touched on with Wieters. He's, you know, thrown his career best to Matt Wieters. Max Scherzer's still great. You missed six Steven Strasburg starts. Overall, their ERA is only 0.2 runs off of what it was last year. Their starting rotation is just about the same. Their bullpen is infinitely better. Now, their offense has scored about a run and a half less per game than they were at this point last year when they were 20 games over 500. To me, that's the thing that's got it fixed. You can make up for the occasional hiccup start for somebody.
And that's exactly, I 100% agree. You have no margin for error, kind of the way they've been swinging the bat. If you don't get a good start, or if you get you lose a lead late from a bullpen or whatever, this offense hasn't shown to kind of consistently make up that kind of ground. And I think that's, you hit that right on the head. I think that to me would still be the bigger concern. The starting rotation hasn't been great for the last month, and I would explore an option potentially to improve that, especially when you look kind of long term for the postseason. But they have to hit, and it's going to largely have to come from within. The guys who are they putting lineup every day, the Daniel Murphys, the Bryce Harpers, those guys have got to play closer to their career levels and what they expect right now from them. And they've got to do something at catcher also to kind of fix that dead spot in the lineup. But I think with both those things there, with all those things kind of put together, is it the lineup that has been kind of the biggest Achilles heel of this team. They just haven't hit consistently enough to, even when they do get good starts, sometimes make their pitchers rewarded for that.
Jamal, you're very fit and you have a warm heart. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
I don't know. I couldn't keep it together there. I was trying my best. Jamal Collier on the Blitz. Let's talk a little football.
The Redskins.
Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. Craig, we've got a little bet going in studio, so oblige us. How much percent body fat are you?
Oh, that's a great question. I measured in last week at 10.1%, I believe.
Ridiculous! What did I tell you? Danny said you were sub 10.
I guaranteed sub 10.
No way. That's he doesn't understand how crazy it is. He said initially 7% or something absurd that.
I've seen Craig. I've seen him.
No, that's professional athlete territory. Craig, will you start working out or something? I mean, that's absurd. You're a big fat guy.
Craig? He left to go work out.
Did he hang up because I called him fat?
I think that may have been what happened.
What just happened?
Did you just offend our Redskins reporter?
I may have. I didn't know he was going to hang up on me.
You can't just do that, Grant. You can't just go around calling somebody fat.
I thought it was okay because he told us that his percentage body fat was way lower than ours.
10.1. I would have bet so much money. Actually, I don't have that much money. I would have bet $3 or $4 that he was under 10. That's how confident I was.
I also like that he was right at our threshold, by the way.
Oh, so close.
Because I said he was going to be 10 or higher and you went under. Kind of in the win column on this one.
That's a win for you. He's more than 10.
We were going to ask him about Preston Smith. Someone tweeted me and made a pretty good point on Preston Smith, which was that Ryan Kerrigan had similar sack totals to Preston Smith in his first 3 years. If you look him up, it was 7.5, 8.5, 7.5, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he was right on that Preston Smith path in terms of number of sacks. Now, I think he made more plays. He flashed more. He had more consistent pressures and near sacks where he got held.
Look for fumbles, fours, different things.
If you look at impact of football games, through 3 years, I felt a lot better about the Kerrigan trajectory than Smith, but maybe that's because he was a 16th overall pick and Smith was a second rounder.
Remember, he also had some injury stuff where he was a little bit nicked up at various points, and he finally had that full healthy campaign where he had almost that 14th.
Let's go back to Craig. I believe he has been talked back into coming on, even though I called him fat. Craig, are you there?
Yeah, and I never left in the first place. That was very bizarre. I don't know why you guys couldn't hear me, but I could hear you trembling in fear.
Yeah, we were very nervous.
We're afraid.
We're very sorry that we said what we said, and by that I mean I said what I said. Anyways, Preston Smith, bigger season this year, more of the same?
I think progressively a little bit better. I don't think all of a sudden he's going to become a 17 sack guy who's just an otherworldly kind of player. I think what you were just saying about Kerrigan being a first rounder and Preston not have a lot to do with the consistency. We know Preston at his best may actually be better than Ryan at his best, where he can just absolutely wreck games. But the ability to do that week in and week out is not there, but it's gotten progressively better. So I do think he'll be more consistent. I don't think he'll be Ryan Kerrigan consistent. And what that means in terms of sack totals, probably somewhere in the 9 to 10 range, which is obviously very good. But can he continue to make an impact a little bit more than he has in the past, the run game, things like that? I think it'll be better than it has, and it'll just keep progressing until his skill level falls off.
Craig, who's a guy on that defense that maybe whether you've heard from coaches, assistants, or guys in that locker room, or maybe you yourself kind of have your eye on going, watch this breakout. You're going to see something. Like, is there a Chris Thompson on this defense maybe this year, someone that can put something together here for 16 weeks?
I wonder if it's Dunbar. I've loved everything I've seen from the guy over the past couple of years, and I know that he's not guaranteed to even start, but like, I think he's going to be better than Orlando Scandrick on the outside. When the ball's thrown his way, he does a good job getting hands on it. Is he perfect? No, but he also has been a backup who hasn't gotten a lot of reps. And he's a playmaker too, and he will actually catch the ball and create turnovers. What a time. So I think Dunbar could be that answer. I mean, to do what Chris did last year is a whole different level. But I think Dunbar, like, if we come out of this season saying Quentin Dunbar is a real starting NFL corner, I will be surprised. Absolutely not.
Craig Hoffman on Grant and Danny. You'll hear him each and every day leading up to and during training camp, either blitzing or for full segments at a time. Craig, it won't be long before you are back sweating in the heat of Richmond on the beat. Enjoy this downtime, my friend.
I will. Just about 10 days away.
Crazy.
See you,
absolutely
buddy.
Crazy. There's Craig Hoffman on Grant and Danny. Josh Hader's in studio with us coming up in about 15 minutes right here on The Fan. Of MLB Network Radio will join us in studio at about 1 o'clock. Josh Hader of the Milwaukee Brewers is with us from 12:30 to 1 today. Home Run Derby is tonight. Ideally, you guys will be listening to that event right here on The Fan if you're not going. Derby starts at 8 on your home for the 2018 All-Star Game. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, presented by HPE and TVAR Solutions, featuring the Hype Converged HPE Simplivity 380. Josh Hader's in studio with us coming up at 12:30, about 12 minutes from right now. He, of course, is an all-star reliever with the Milwaukee Brewers, who's just been unbelievable in the first half. A 1.5 ERA in 31 games. He's striking out 17 batters per 9 innings en route to his first all-star appearance. Speaking of the Derby tonight, you heard Kevin Franzen on the show earlier. We had him in studio with us for a little over a half hour. Franzen, a former Nat, former teammate of Bryce Harper's, said that he thinks that this Derby could actually launch Harper's season forward and really get him going, because you build off of the positivity of the love you're going to get. Now, we've heard in the past, I've never believed this for one second, but we've heard different guys say at times that being in the Home Run Derby hurts their swing for the rest of the season.
And you've seen some cases where guys have gone into slumps after. Bobby Abreu comes to mind.
Yep.
Aaron Judge last year was in a funk for basically a month afterwards.
Aaron Judge has been in funks for months at a time his entire career, though. And that's kind of where I counter their arguments. Right. I think slumps kind of happen, and it's convenient, because there was actually a study done, and they looked at every hitter who's been in the Home Run Derby over the last, like, say, 15 years, whatever it was. I don't have the exact numbers. And basically how they performed before the season, how they performed after the Home Run Derby in the same season. And basically the numbers come back to say it's really hard to draw a conclusion that anything goes on.
Right.
But I guess if it's in your head and you think your swing is different and you think somehow that the Home Run Derby cost you if you're Todd Frazier, then that could be the case, I guess. My point is that if I'm Bryce Harper, I'm not worried about that, because I'm not going to get worse in the second half.
What am I going to hit, 213?
Yeah, I'm going to go from 215 to 207. Franzen said something pretty compelling to me, which is perhaps and possibly this is what he needs. This is the motivation. This is the positive vibes and the juju that gets him popping, that gets him going. I think there could be something to that. If you look at the Home Run Derby bracket tonight, it's going to be a fun event. You're going to have some up-and-coming stars taking part. Jesus Aguilar leads the National League in home runs with 24 from the Brewers, is the 1 seed against the 8 seed Rhys Hoskins. On the left side of the bracket, the 4-5 matchup is Alex Bregman, who was a second overall pick by the Astros a few years ago, won a World Series last year. Against Kyle Schwarber, who was a fifth overall pick out of Indiana just a few years ago. They're going head-to-head. You got Harper against Freddie Freeman, a little NL East rivalry there, 2-7. And then Max Muncy of the Dodgers, who has clubbed his way toward the starting lineup for Los Angeles this year against Javier Baez. And when he hits them, they stay hit. He's a great second baseman, as good a defensive player as there is in the infield in baseball right now. But Harper is the star here. This is going to be his night. What do you make of what Franzen said?
you're at this point, and they asked, I did ABC 7 Sports Sunday last night, right? And it was the first question was, do you think this is the thing that could get him going? I'm out of, well, all he needs is this. You see what I'm saying? The analogy I used was as follows. When I was single in my early to mid-20s, and no girl wanted to talk to me at all, and I had friends that had girlfriends or were dating or were moving to get married or whatever else, everybody had advice for me. Everybody gave me analysis, and it was paralysis by analysis. It got to the point that every text message I would try to send to a girl was like this thought-out thing, and I would change punctuation but not want to sound a certain way, and I was in this funk for multiple years. It reminds me of this, where everybody's got a prescription for Bryce. Everyone's giving him advice. Everybody's got a drill. Everyone's got something. Everyone's talking about it all the time, but when you come into the room, they're going, shh, there he is. See what I'm saying? And the pressure of it has mounted, especially as this season has gone worse and worse and worse for this group for longer. The idea was, of course, they'll flip the switch. They're too talented. They'll get going. Bryce will get going. Well, he's, you know, whatever it is, 16 for his last 108. You know, he's hit sub 200 for almost 2 months now. And let's try one more thing. Why not? I guess is kind of my point. Do I buy that it's going to work? I don't necessarily do, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to know that it's going to work.
But let's give it a go. Honestly.
I don't think it can hurt him, though.
Right.
I think this is a guy who does thrive on the big stage. Mm-hmm. We've seen it time and time again. Who I also think benefits from the positivity, and there's been less of that of late.
Yeah, I mean, remember our topics last week? For
yeah, he is maligned more than he has been at any point by this fan base. Because, and somewhat rightfully so, as the high-priced, now veteran who's the face of the franchise, the team's underachieving, and at the same time, you have underachieved immensely. So a lot of the anguish and the disappointment that this fan base feels is being taken out on him. A lot of the irritability about the Nationals kind of gets centered and isolated right on Bryce Harper, and that's what he's dealing with right now. This is going to be a couple of day span where he gets to do what Giancarlo Stanton did with the Marlins last year.
Mm.
He gets to be the belle of the ball. He will be the celebrated player. All of the discussion about him on a national level will be very positive. Talking about free agency and the fact that he could break records in terms of the money he makes. They won't get into the specifics like we do on this show and like Nats fans do of the drought that he's in. They'll say that he's having a down year with his batting average. But I think this is going to be really good for him. I really do. I'm not as high as Franzen. Franzen's talking about him getting back into the 270s this year.
This will be the thing that unlocks it, yeah.
I don't buy that. But it's going to mean nothing or it's going to do something. I think it's going to do something. I think it'll be very positive. Because this is a guy that responds well to this type of attention.
You just hope that it's the kickstart, right? You just hope that it's the thing that kind of gets him into that zone, whatever stupid sports cliche you want to use, that gets him into his right rhythm, whatever it is, the adulation, the fun. Because when was the last time it looked like Bryce Harper was having fun? Looked like he's having much fun to you? Like when he yogged down the first baseline, when he squared up a ball that became a room service double play ball, two hopper, and he jogged down the first baseline. Chelsea Janes of the Post chronicles it on Twitter, and there are 200 responses. Every one of them is about how much of a bum he is, and they can't wait until he's gone. When's the last time it looked like he had genuine enjoyment playing the game, right? It's now so much of a grind for a guy that when he first came up, it looked like, dude, your hair's on fire, run faster. You know, it was run till they tag you. Everything, it was too much enthusiasm, if anything, right?
Well, it's probably not that fun to hit 210.
No.
And to be booed by your own fans, which has happened at times at Nats Park, even before the worst of this stretch after his Las Vegas Golden Knights jersey wearing fiasco. Mm-hmm. But a lot of guys deal with this. I mean, guys go through slumps all the time. I know if you're a player in that clubhouse, you don't like it when guys are sour and sucking on a lemon and acting like it's the first slump that's ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You have buddies that go through breakups. Like, oh, I'm never going to find anyone again. I just can't believe it. You don't understand. It's like, no, literally there are millions of people right now dealing with the exact same thing.
Everyone on the planet has done it. Everyone.
You're not the first person. Somebody loses a job and they act like they got wronged and, you know, guess what? A lot of people have lost jobs. Other people are going to, we're all going to lose our jobs. Act accordingly. Please be a professional. I would say the same thing about Bryce Harper and the slump. And he has, by the way, 90% of the time handled himself and comported himself really well. We were crediting him a couple weeks ago with that. But when you're not running out balls, if you start slamming the batting helmet, if you're getting ejected, and he hasn't done those things.
Right.
But the not running out the rocket right at the shortstop. And after the game, he was short with reporters and basically said, I hit the ball 106 miles an hour right at the guy. His point was, I was going to get thrown out. Well, let's just run in case. Maybe they airmail that return throw to first base. What I care about is it looks terrible.
Yeah, it looks really bad.
The team is taking on water. They're losing games they need to win. You are responsible as the leader of the team to be a positive, not a negative. To be a fix, not part of the problem. And you're essentially trotting down the line.
Because whether you want to be or not, and whether it's your personality or not, you're the leader here among the position players, right? As such a great player, you're a guy that people take their cues from. If you whether you want that crown or that spotlight or not, tough break, it comes with the territory of being really, really good.
We're doing the show downstairs at District Live because we've got guests in-house. So as you're making your way down to Southeast D.C. today and tomorrow, you can see some of our guests take part in this show. Josh Hader of the Milwaukee Brewers will be with us in moments. Dave Martinez tomorrow. So make note to get on down here and be a part of the show. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny with you on 106.7 The Fan. We're downstairs at DC Live so that we can get some guests in-house live with us over the next couple of days, including All-Star National Leaguer, representative of Maryland in the All-Star game, back in the area, Josh Hader of the Milwaukee Brewers, who has been absolutely sensational, striking out over 16 batters per nine in 31
numbers.
Appearances, one of the most dominant relievers in baseball. First of all, Josh, thanks for coming in studio and welcome back to the area.
Thanks for having me.
So I just asked you, so Millersville, Maryland, I had to get like a geographical update. I was on Google Maps earlier. I'm like, is that near Bowie? Where is that? What is, why don't I know anything about Millersville, Maryland?
I don't know. It's not a big city. you know, it's little, really. And I guess it wouldn't be too little. We had a lot of people in our school and
yeah, is it a one high
areas.
School town?
One, I mean, not really.
No?
No, I mean, we're 10 minutes from, like, Glen Burnie High School, and
okay.
Annapolis is, like, 20, so I guess it wouldn't be too small.
Are you got to be the first big leaguer from your high school, I would think.
From my high school, no, I don't think so. I think...
Wow. That's a little hotbed we don't know about, Danny.
Dude, yeah, I'm telling you, we were talking about it before he came on, and when I was in high school, because I'm almost twice his age, which is just so infuriating, but they were always really good. Oh, there was always like two guys that went to Maryland, one guy that got drafted. They always had players. That was one of those random factories for whatever reason of really, really good baseball talent, I feel like. So I'm sure there's been a big leaguer here and there.
So Josh Hader was drafted by the Orioles, and then because he's good at pitching, the Orioles didn't want to keep him.
They hate pitchers.
So they had to trade him, obviously, immediately for fear that they might be able to get outs at the major league level.
Which they can't have.
So then he went to the Houston Astros, and then from Houston was moved to Milwaukee, where he's now in his second season, and he's been magnificent each of the last 2 years. So you're pretty well-traveled at this point. What's that like the first time you get traded? We're talking about the trade deadline a lot right now. And all these dudes' names keep coming up. I was talking to all the futures gamers yesterday who might get dealt and Manny Machado trade and all these things. That's not anything we'll ever have to relate to in our lives. Hey, I want to go into The Fan today, but they just shipped me to some radio station in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I got to do a show in Pittsburgh now.
Babe, we're moving to Philly. What was that like?
It was different. Obviously, we were first full season with Delmarva, so... Actually, I was pitching the next day, I believe, and getting ready for that. And we just got done throwing, doing our throwing program. And they came up and they said, hey, you got traded. Phone was blasting. And yeah, it was different. Definitely, I had no idea. Obviously, I didn't, being that young and not knowing much about pro ball, I didn't even know I could get traded. I was like, this is crazy. but yeah, went to Houston and it was a blast. Learned, met a lot of guys and won a, what was it, low A championship over there. So, I mean, it was a fun time.
And then you got traded again.
Yep.
That time you knew you could be traded, But at that point, are you, when you make that phone call again to your parents or your girlfriend or whoever you're talking to, are you going, yeah, it happened again? I'm, and they're like, who is it now? What gear are we buying this time?
No, I mean, it's just like a new journey, you know, just a different path. And you know, as long as I'm able to play baseball, I mean, that's really all I want. And, you know, to have fun with it.
Josh Hader's in studio with us. You're an all-star. Put that into perspective. Like, there are a whole bunch of people that pick up a baseball and a bat as little kids. And a very small percentage get to play even into high school. Even smaller percentage play at any kind of level after that, whether it's high school, whether it's a college, pro ball, independent ball, whatever. You're a Major League All-Star. Of the one fraction of 1%, up, there's another smaller fraction, which math I can't do. You're one of the best players in the world this year. What does that mean?
It's an honor. Obviously, for me, I would have never thought this coming in, but I try and keep things simple, not try to overthink too much and just have fun with it. This is a kid's game, so I mean, as long as you can keep it simple, I feel like everything's going to eventually work out.
When did you know, I always like to ask guys at your level, which is obviously very high, when did you know you were special? Like, did it occur to you, just like you're in the minors, and as you said, we were talking before the show, or before you hopped on, you were throwing in the mid-80s, upper 80s in high school. A lot of guys do that. Not many people do what you're doing, striking out two batters per inning, throwing aspirin tablets covered in shadow and sadness. When did you know you were special?
I would say 2015, really, when went to the Pan Am Games, and I was there as a reliever, being able to come out. I think it was the first time I was playing. We were playing Cuba. And just that adrenaline rush coming off the mound and coming in to close the game, it kind of, I guess, put me in a perspective like this bullpen life is actually pretty awesome. And just so happens, Stearns and the guys over there, they decided to move me to the pen and got called up. So, I mean, it was definitely a blessing in disguise.
David Stearns, general manager of the Brewers, he's mentioned, and has done a heck of a job in Milwaukee. They've spent most of the first half in first place and are in postseason contention, thanks largely to the efforts of that bullpen. And Josh Hader, who's joining us on Grant and Danny, presented by Xfinity. Take control of your Wi-Fi with Xfinity XFi. Change your password, set curfews, and more. All with an app. Simple, easy, awesome. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store to learn more. Restrictions apply. This year, you've got almost 90 strikeouts in 47 innings. And I reference that because I think one of the, analytically speaking, numbers anymore that people look at are the ability to miss bats and generate swings and misses. And right now, you're kind of setting the bar in relief pitching for coming on and striking guys out. Is it hard when you strike out that many batters not to fall in love with it where, I mean, as a reliever, I guess it's not that big of a deal because you come in your max effort and you strike everyone out, that's fine. But there are spots probably where it's okay to induce the ground ball, to pitch to contact. Do you have to reprogram yourself sometimes not to always be working toward the K?
No, I mean, I'm not going out first pitch thinking I'm going to strike out everybody out. But, you know, I get to the chance where I got a guy 0-2 or I'm ahead of the count. I'm not going to let him try and hit the ball, you know. Obviously, sometimes some situations where you need to get that ground ball, you know, it's just kind of tough when you got a fastball slider and you the changeup so much. So,
do you still throw the change a good bit? Because you had so much experience as a starter before you became a reliever. You have that pitch, but when you throw the fastball slider, you don't really need it. How often are you using it?
I haven't used it too much this year, but it's definitely, I've been working on it. I keep on it, make sure that I do have that in the back pocket. And, yeah, I mean, I just see what the hitters read, tell me, and I just read them. And, I mean, fastball slider has been the good combo this year. And, you know, hopefully we can start mixing up a little bit more.
According to FanGraphs, 0.5% of the time on the old changeup. Does that sound about right?
Right, so.
That sounds like not very often.
Yeah, once a week at most.
Yeah, maybe.
Double down on his point.
Is it one of those things where you mentioned the adrenaline, and that's something that maybe you can have in big starts, you know, for a starter, right? Once every fifth day, you kind of get up and you're attacking hitters in that way. But you're coming in, max effort, you know, riding the rocket ship, let's go, full adrenaline. Is it something where you get that much more excited to face the other guy's best? Like, you love going up against, like, the marquee hitter. Like, if you got to come in and get Joey Votto out, who's as good a hitter as there is on this planet. Do you like that more? Or is it, yeah, looks like Votto's coming up next inning. That's not that much fun. Or which is kind of the approach? Do you kind of get up more for guys that are at the top of their game?
I think it's just in general, just getting up there, being in a big league stadium, being, this is a dream come true for me. And, you know, every day I go out there, I just, just take it all in. So I wouldn't say the hitter really makes it the adrenaline rush. I think it's more just being there and being able to do what I love.
What do you want to get out of this experience this weekend? I mean, you finish up Sunday with the first half. You fly in as an all-star. You guys have the media day coming up at the ballpark today. I mean, the game's tomorrow. It's a whirlwind. There's not a lot of time to hang out or see people or do anything, but what do you hope you get to do?
I'll just take it all in, just, live it up, this experience, because this could be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and, enjoy my family. I mean, this is right by home, so my mom, my dad, and a bunch of my friends are able to come up for the Home Run Derby, then for the All-Star Game tomorrow, so.
What's the count at? How many people are coming?
Not too many. We got 7 today for the Home Run Derby, and
nice.
Then about 14, 13 for the game tomorrow, so it's definitely going to be a nice show out for, the family, and then I have a bunch of other people who say they're going to come in, so. I just looking forward, just have everybody enjoy this, take it all in with me.
So speaking of Home Run Derby and hitting, we're in a room right now with somebody with an OPS of 2, a slugging percentage of 1, an on-base percentage of 1, and a batting average of 1. That's 1,000 in a layperson. Josh Hader's 1-for-1 this year. Hitting is easy. Do you never want an at-bat again? You can just walk off on that?
Yeah, nah. They say the saying is a squirrel always has to find a nut. Blind squirrel always has to find a nut. So I think that's kind of what happened. Threw the bat out there and got the hit.
Now you can walk around the clubhouse, though, and tell guys how easy it is to hit.
Hey, Sneaky, our bullpen, if you can look up the bullpen stats for hitting, we got 2 show bombs, a double. I think we might have 6 RBIs.
That's something.
That's insane.
I would, by the way, I'd be relentless. I would do so many bits. Be like, you know what you ought to try is move your elbow slightly down. Because here's what I did when I was a hitter. Like, I would get on people.
No shot.
Just go ahead and shot. Set people down with fastballs and sliders. And Josh Hader is in studio with us, presented by Xfinity. Take control of your Wi-Fi with Xfinity XFi. Change your password, set curfews, and more, all with an app. Simple, easy, awesome. Go online. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store to learn more. Restrictions apply. We'll get into some fun stuff with him about ballparks he likes to play in and travel that he enjoys as he continues to hang out with us on Grant and Danny on The Fan. On The Fan, hanging out with Josh Hader, all-star with the Milwaukee Brewers and a Maryland native who is back in the area. He's got 14 friends and family coming to see him pitch in the all-star game tomorrow. Will you be nervous at all in an exhibition, but you're taking on 3 sluggers from the American League who are probably among the best in the sport? Will it feel like a normal game, do you think, or will you have a little bit of nerves and butterflies you don't normally have?
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of adrenaline. I wouldn't say too nervous, but, like I said before, this is just enjoy your time, reflect on the first half.
Do you get nervous anymore when you come into a game at this point in your major league career? Like, butterflies, any kind of feeling where you're going, okay, or if you fall behind in a big spot, bases loaded or something, do you feel anything or are you kind of old hat at it?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever really been nervous pitching.
Really?
No, not too much. I think, if anything, 2015 when we went to the Futures game in San Diego, that was like my first big league stadium. And the adrenaline was so much, maybe you could call that a little bit of nerves, but it's just a different type of feeling.
Brewers All-Star Josh Hader's in studio with us. It's presented by Xfinity. Take control of your Xfinity Wi-Fi with Xfinity XFi. Change your passwords, set curfews, and more, all with an app. Simple, easy, awesome. Go online or call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store to learn more. Restrictions apply. The game has changed so much. Everyone now over talks about the shifts and how many. This is going to be the first year, if things hold, that there'll be more strikeouts than hits. That's never happened before in baseball history. I think it's just a phase we're in. Hitters will adjust the same way pitchers adjusted, et cetera. I want to talk about, though, with you, how pitchers, I think, have kind of adjusted. For years, growing up, it was always down in the zone, down in the zone, down in the zone, down in the zone. Well, hitters have done something to counter that, right? That's, you still got to find a way to drive the ball. If it's down in the zone, let's get underneath it. So now maybe the top of the zone may be more open than it's been, especially with the velocity that guys like you and others have. Have you noticed a trend in that way that guys are maybe working up a little bit more than they have?
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of guys, even myself, I like pitching up in the zone, but you really have to move the ball around the zone. These guys are so good. You double up and you get predictable. They're going to they're going to smash you. So I think it's really just, you know, working top of the zone, bottom of the zone, you know, trying to keep that eye level different.
When you're traveling around to ballparks, road games, what have you, what's your routine like? So you get a three-game series somewhere. Do you have normally like a day? I mean, as a reliever, you don't always know when you're going to throw, but you'll certainly know days where you may not have to work that night. Is it, do you try to go get a decent meal with one of your buddies? Like, how do you normally kind of experience these cities on the road?
I mean, not too much. I mean, I'm mostly just sitting in the hotel playing Fortnite, chilling. Like,
so you bring with you the video games?
Yeah.
So what do you travel with?
Well, right now, I got my Nintendo 64 in my bag right now with my laptop.
That's from like 14 years ago?
N64, yeah. We couldn't get it up on the TV last night. I was a little disappointed. They didn't have the AV cords.
They never have the right cords in the hotels.
So in your bag right there is a Nintendo 64.
No. Oh, okay. I have it at the hotel, but...
Mario Kart is my bet. I'll bet $1 it's Mario Kart.
I'm going to say... I'm trying to remember a game. I don't even know what games... It was so long ago. I was 7. I don't remember.
I mean, I have all my original games. I had a 007 GoldenEye. I don't know if you ever messed with that.
Yeah, I played about 196 hours of that.
You put the cheat code in with the mini, with the big heads and the paintball guns.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just classic. Mario Kart, obviously, you can't beat that. I mean, I have so many games
from
the childhood.
That's like a fun nostalgia thing to be funny this weekend. That's not just what you normally would play, right?
No, normally it's Fortnite. But,
Fortnite.
Yeah, just recently, because I had my Nintendo games just chilling with me. I never had a console because I guess it got, you know, sold in a yard sale. So went on Amazon, got it, and...
Good for you.
You guess it got sold in a yard sale.
Well, I didn't sell it, so I'm not sure where it would disappear to.
It's a bit of a caper. Someone's out there with Josh Hader's old Nintendo console right now, living a great life. So we forget like how young he is, right? Forget how
young. 24-year-old guy.
This is what the young people do. They play the Fortnite.
Like he's 12.
Well, but he may as well be. He's closer to 12 than he is to my age. You young people with your Fortnite. Why is that? Do you like interacting with people? What is the appeal of this Fortnite? I don't understand it.
It's just you drop in and everybody's at an equal playing field.
Yeah. Are you good? No,
I mean, I'm all right. I mean, I'm not the best. I can hold my own.
Okay, so let's just say, where are you guys at to start after the All-Star break?
I believe we're back in Milwaukee.
Okay, so like your next road trip, I'm just going to make up that it's in Cincinnati. We're playing a 4-game series in Cincinnati. You're like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Will you be on Fortnite grinding away in the hotel for like 3 of those 4 days for a couple hours?
Probably so.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what you do?
Like I get home from the field, relax in the hotel, and then
you wake up at what time the next day? Like 1?
No, I'll wake up probably like 11:30, get some breakfast, and then head to the field.
What a life. This is great. And by the way, strike out the side.
Yeah.
Be beloved by all of Milwaukee. He wouldn't have to pay for a drink or food anywhere. They love him in Milwaukee. But
rightfully
instead,
so.
He just plays Fortnite and talks trash to people on the internet.
Are you a trash talker?
No, not much.
Is anybody jaw at you?
Not too much. I mean, we mostly just play with guys from the team. So it's like...
Oh, you play with
like the whole squad. The whole squad is...
But in the hotel, like in their rooms?
Well, we'll play in our rooms and then we'll just link together.
Okay, so who's the Brewers like contingent of guys? And like, who, it's your room or someone else's room normally that they meet up in?
No, so it's just actually JJ. We met up. We did this a couple times. We met up in JJ's room. We all like had these games.
Which JJ?
Units. Jeffers.
Okay.
Yeah. So
fellow reliever, German Jeffers.
Yeah.
He's an all-star
man.
As well,
he's
right?
Man. Yeah, he's an all-star. Yeah.
All he is dirty.
Yeah. He's unbelievable. But we sometimes come in with our games unit. There's like a little mini screen that has like it looks like a suitcase with our PlayStation in it. We'll all link up and just play.
It's unreal to me. Because to me, video games to me, and I'm not above gaming. I love video games so much. It's about being alone in a quiet, dark, cold room, never interacting with another person, and preferably eating cereal. You guys all want to do it together. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's about camaraderie, man. It brings the Brewers together.
I guess it does.
That's why they're having such a good season.
Is it one of those things where that's going to be the story at the end of the season if you guys have the kind of run that you want to be on where it's like the local news guy, you won't believe what brought Milwaukee together. It's a game called Fortnite, and they'll overdo it on the news. Is that going to be the story?
I mean, it could be.
You know, there's been dudes. I remember Joel Zumaya is one, and there was a controversy, I'm sure you heard, with David Price this year. Where there was like a carpal tunnel situation.
He was over Fortnite,
based
Josh.
On video gaming. Are you familiar with
I've
this?
Heard that. Yeah, I heard that.
Does it worry you at all?
No, I don't know if that's too accurate or not.
You're not buying it?
But I don't know.
You're going to keep Fortniting away.
For sure.
There's just so many restaurants that I, like, granted, I always say this, I would weigh 800 pounds if I played professional sports, because all I would do is eat at every, like, bar in every city. I would just want to go, like, oh, I'm in Cincinnati today, it's chili. Oh, I'm in Philly today, it's a cheesesteak. You probably want to stay fit and, like, be able to pitch well and stuff. My priority would be to eat delicious
foods. Right, I'd be eating so much.
Well, it's kind of tough when we get done. The game's like 10:30. Everything's mostly closed.
No, but you're forgetting that you have until you get to the clubhouse at what, like 3?
Nah, 1.
You get there at 1?
You're a 1 guy?
Yeah. It seems very aggressive.
Why?
Well, you're a reliever.
1, 2 o'clock.
Yeah?
Depending on the day.
And then you're not pitching until late in the game? You're just showing up at 1?
You have to.
Is there a really good like screen you can play Fortnite in the clubhouse or something?
So sometimes I bring my laptop in and we'll play on
Fortnite. There's a good Wi-Fi
that
there.
That makes sense. Josh, it's been fun hanging out with you. And I got to be honest, man, you are a blast to watch. There's no one else in the big leagues like you on the hill right now. It's been cool to see.
I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
It's been fun, guys.
Josh Hader on Grant and Danny in studio with us on 106.7 The Fan. Mike Farron of MLB Network Radio. We'll talk about the playoff races. Milwaukee and Josh are right in the middle of one of them in the National League Central. It was brought to you by Xfinity. Take control of your Wi-Fi with Xfinity XFi. Change your password, set curfews, and more. All with an app. Simple, easy, awesome. Go online. 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store to learn more. Restrictions apply. You're listening to The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.